are so thankful that you have given us an opportunity today to come together in this place, and only to worship you, and only to come together, God, to honor you and to give you praise and worship. Lord, but to listen to you on what you are saying to us today, even as we face a great challenge, as we face, oh God, this crisis that's going on in the world today. We ask, oh God, that you guide us on how we can respond in a way, God, that is according to your word, according to your promises. And Lord, we thank you that today you will speak to us and you will encourage us on how we can proceed with what's going on in the world today. Lord, we commit everything to you, and we give you all the glory and all the praise and all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Well, today we're going to start a new series on the book of 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians. And I entitled this series, The Next Level Church. What kind of church is going to survive what's going on in the world today? And I believe God has allowed us to see what happened, or what's happening, and what has already happened in the book of Thessalonians, to see how they responded to the crisis that they experienced when they were under persecution and under a very, a very similar situation like we did, or like we have today. As I said, everything that's happening in the world today presents a challenge to us as Christians. And the question that I ask of myself is, am I going to allow God to use me to change the world today? That's the question that I am asking. And that's the question that you have to ask yourself about what's going on in the world today. Am I going to allow God to change the world or not? You know, speaking about change, I believe every one of us want to experience change, but sometimes we think that change is too hard to do. We wish that we can change everything that easily. You know, I heard a story of an old man who took a trip to the big city. And for the first time in his life, he found himself standing outside an elevator. And then he watched as an old lady hobbled on and entered the door of an elevator. And then a few minutes later, the doors opened and a young, attractive woman came out of the door. Amazed, but realizing the possibilities, the old man turned to his son and said, "Boy, go home and get your mama so that I can run her through that thing." You know, this is about change. We are talking about change. As I said, everybody wished that change would be that easy. But we know that change is not easy, it's hard. But is there anything too hard for God? No. There is nothing too hard for God. The Bible says all things are possible to those who believe. So whatever we are experiencing today, whether There is a pandemic. Or whether the problem of the world today seems to be hopeless, I believe the scripture says that everything is possible with God. Amen? Everything is possible with God. And the church in Thessalonica was facing the problems that most of us experience today, and most churches and most Christians are experiencing today in the world. That is, they were facing opposition and persecution for their faith, and they were facing uncertainties and hopelessness about their future. The question is, are we going to cave in to the fear of facing uncertainties and hopelessness in the world? The question is, are we going to lose hope when everything seems hopeless? Are we going to follow God's way to change the world, or are we going to follow the world when we face problems of pandemic proportions? Today, as we look at the Word, as we look at the Scripture, we're going to see God's way of changing the world. As we look at the Scripture, we're going to see God's way in facing problems of pandemic proportions. So what is God's way to change the world? What is God's way to face problems of pandemic proportions, just like we experience today? I believe that God's way to change the world is to change you and me first. I believe that God's way to change you and me is to use convicting preaching from the Word of God. I believe that is the way of God, and that is God's way every time there is a crisis, there is a problem, there is a situation going on in the world. God always speaks His Word. Amen? God always has a word whenever there is a crisis, whenever there is a situation, or there is a trial, or there is something going on in the world, because God always uses His Word to guide His people. And today, as we look at the Word of God, as we look at the book of 1 Thessalonians, we will see how God changes the world. As I said, God changes the world by first changing you. And God's way to change you is to use the Word of God, to use the Scripture, to use the preaching of the Word of God, so that you and I will change. So let's look at the first thing that I said. God's way to change the world is to change you first. As I said, many people today in the world wish that they will change. But you and I will never change unless we are changed by God first. And God always start the change in your life. If you wish that something will change in your situation, in your family, in your nation, or in your situation, God has to change you first. You know, remember, what's going on in the world today, God allowed what's going on in the world today because He wants every one of us to learn something. Amen? I mean, these things happen today not because God is not aware of what will happen or what's going on in the world. God knows that this will happen. And God has something to say about what's going on and what will happen and what you need to do in order to do what He wants you to do. So what is God's way to change you? Well, I believe the first thing that God will do to change you is to change your heart. Amen? The first thing that God will do to change the heart of a person is to change his or her heart. Remember what John chapter 3 verse 3 says. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Titus chapter 3 verse 5 says, He saved us not because of the righteous things we have done, but because of His mercy. He saved us in the washing of rebirth and regeneration through the Holy Spirit. So the first thing that God would do to change you and me would be to convert your heart. And there are so many people today who claim to be Christian, who claim to be a Christian, who claim to be a believer, but his heart or her heart has not been converted yet. So how can you expect someone to change if his heart or her heart has never been born again? And this was the case of the Christians in Thessalonica. You know what Paul says in verse 1? He said, Paul, Silas, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. His description of the church is that the church is in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And what he meant by in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ is that God is in their life and that they have entered into a personal relationship with God through their faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In other words, they responded to the Word of God. They responded to the preaching of Paul, and because of that, they were truly built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And many people today claim to be Christians, but Jesus said, I don't know you. You know, the Bible says there will come a time where Jesus said to those who claim to be Christians, I never knew you. Unfortunately, this is a reality to a vast numbers of congregations and churches today. Many, if not most, churches are filled with religious people who have never been born again. They profess to know Christ, but do not possess Him. They have facts about the gospel, but they have no faith in Him. They know the plan of salvation, but they don't know the man of salvation. They walk an aisle, they raise their hand, been baptized, join the church, and even became involved in ministry, but the sad reality is they have never been born again. They may be outwardly reformed, but they have never been inwardly reborn. As a result, they attend churches in unconverted state, self-deceived into thinking that they were saved, but in reality they are not. My friends, my brothers and sisters, the only way we can be changed is when God converts our hearts. When we became born again and say, God, I can never save myself. God, I need you in my life. I know I am a sinner and I need you in my life. And only you can save me from hell and from sin. So God can change us. But we must be willing to come to Him and be converted. You know what the scripture says, unless you be converted, we will die in our sins. Now the question is, how does God change us? First, He changes us by converting our hearts. And when we are converted, and when our hearts are converted, it will eventually lead us to a changed life. You know, any person who claims to be a Christian, the first thing you have to look at their lives is whether they have been changed. They have been transformed by the gospel. As I said in many of my examples, you know, when I and my brothers, we are 13 in my family. I am the 12th, and from I think the 8th up to 13, all of us are male. So all of us are kind of hard-headed, you know, boys that present a lot of problems to my parents, especially to my mother. And when we came to know the Lord, you know what happened? The first thing that happened after we became born again is my mother began to come with us to church. Even without us, you know, giving her an invitation, she came with us. You know why? Because she saw the transformation in our lives. She cannot deny the transformation that God did in our lives. And so God spoke to her through our lives, through the things that God did in our lives. And that is what God did in the lives of these Thessalonians. In verse 2 and verse 3, it says, "We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." You know, there's something that you cannot deny is changed lives. You know, a lot of people that claim to be Christians but have not exhibited or have not shown changed life will never win someone. But if you have been changed radically by the gospel, that will speak to a lot of people. And this is what happened to the people of Thessalonica, to the church of Thessalonica. Because of their faith in God, because of their love for God, and because of their hope in God, they inspired a lot of people. They brought a lot of people to the knowledge of Jesus Christ because of their faith, because of their love, and because of their hope. And this is what will bring people to Christ. When our faith, hope, and love produces fruit in our lives, so that we can show to the world that only Jesus Christ can truly bring a transformation in the life of a person. Another thing that happened to them, aside from being changed by God, they have a clear conviction. They have a clear conviction. In verse 4 it says, "For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that He has chosen you Paul said, for we know. How did he know? He saw something in his brothers and sisters. He said, we know that you have been loved by God, and God has chosen you. And this shows that these Christians, these people, have been chosen by God because they were loved by God, and they have shown their love for God not only by their lives, but also by their examples. You know, the Bible says, for I did not choose you, or for you did not choose me, but I chose you. You know, God's way to change the world is to change you first. But He doesn't end there. He changed you by giving you a converted heart, which will result in a changed life. But because we are clear in our conviction, when we decided to follow God, when we decided to follow Christ, then we have a real conversion. We have a real transformation. That is how God changed the world. By first changing you, giving you a converted heart, giving you a changed life, and giving you a clear conviction. But what is God's instrument in changing us from within? There's only one instrument that God uses to change us from within, and that is the Word of God. So God's way to change you and me is to use convicting preaching. How many of you, one way or another, has been convicted by a preaching the word? All of us. I mean, all of us who has been transformed, changed by God, and clearly convicted by the word of God, heard a word from God and convicted by the Holy Spirit, and as a result, responded to the word of God. Because the Scripture convicted us. The Holy Spirit used the Scripture to convict us of sin, of righteousness, and justice. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says, the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, and it penetrates even the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. The only way we can be converted and changed and transformed is through the abiding, living Word of God. Amen? You know, the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing and hearing God's Word. Without the Word of God, without the Scriptures preached to us, we will never come into a convicting power of God. You know, in verse 5 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, it says, for our gospel, he said, because our gospel did not come to you simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction, and you know how to live among you for your sake. And that is how the Word of God changes us. First, the gospel, the Word of God, came not only with word, but also with power. And the Word of God not also come with word and power, it come with a deep conviction. And also, only came with power, with word, and conviction, the gospel was evident in the life of those who preached it. And Paul was a great example of someone who practiced what he preaches. And I believe that is the evidence of the power of God and the power of God's Word. When the Word does not only became words, but it also became real. It became, I would say, it became incarnational. It became true. The Word became flesh. Amen? And that's what happened to Jesus when he came here. The Word became flesh. And that is the power of the gospel. That's why Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. That's why preaching the Word of God is important. Because the Word of God will not come only with power, with word, but also in power, in great conviction. But it will also come and see its power transform the life of a person. Now, my next question is, how does preaching the Word change us? In other words, what is the evidence that the Word of God has truly changed you and me and transformed us to become a person that He wants us to be? How do we know whether the Word of God has truly transformed you as a follower of Jesus Christ, as a believer of Jesus Christ? I will give you at least 5 signs of a person who is truly changed, truly transformed by the Word of God. Number one is Christ-like walk. Christ-like walk. Meaning, if a person is truly born again, transformed by God, changed by God, the first thing you should see in that person is he has been transformed as far as his walk. In other words, as far as his life is concerned. In verse 6, the first part of verse 6, it says, you became imitators of us and the Lord. In other words, imitator in the Greek means to mimic. And this has been going on in the life of these Christians in Thessalonica. They have been mimicking. They have been copying Paul and Silas and Timothy, because they have seen their life, they have seen their examples, and so they are mimicking Paul, Silas, and Timothy. They have been following them, they have been doing what they were doing, they have been following them, because that is what a Christian is. Christian means you are like Christ. You are following Christ, you are walking like Christ. Therefore, your life is changed because you have been converted, changed, and chosen so that you can become like Jesus, like Christ. And this is what happened to them. They walk like Jesus. They walk like Christ. So that is the first sign. They walk like Jesus. Number two is courageous commitment. What do you mean by courageous commitment? That means that anything that happens to you, you still stand by God's word. No suffering, no tribulation, nothing will ever separate you from God's word, the Bible says. Do you know that is the promise of God? There is nothing in this world, not even death, nor life, nor anything in the world will separate you from God's love. Not even coronavirus will separate you from God's love. Amen? You know what courageous commitment is? No matter what happens, I will trust God and I will give myself to God. And this is what happened to the Christians in Thessalonica. They have been persecuted. And some of them even died for their faith. But they never gave up. Because they know that all those who desire to live godly shall suffer persecution. Jesus said, if the world hates you, they will hate you more. They will hate you as well. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. So they have a courageous commitment. And then number three, they also have a contagious faith. You know, if there's anything contagious in our life, it should not be coronavirus. It should be our faith in God. It should not be fear, but it should be our faith in God. And this is what happened to the Christians in Thessalonica. Their faith was contagious. Not only to Thessalonica, but to areas around Thessalonica, because their faith, the Bible says in verse 7 and verse 8, so that you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. And the Lord's message ran out from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia, your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it. So they have a contagious faith. And then number four, aside from contagious faith, courageous commitment, and Christ-like walk, they have a continuous repentance. In verse 9 it says, for they themselves report what kind of reception we had with you and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God. In other words, the transformation is seen in their life because they continued to repent, meaning they continued to be transformed by the renewing of their mind, by the renewing of their life, because they believe in the Word of God, and the Word of God continued to change them into a person that God wants them to be. And one of the things that we should be transformed is by changing our allegiance from idols to God. You know, many Christians does not realize that there are still many idols in our life. And one of the things that we should do is to continue to turn from idols to serve a truly living God. And that is what happened to the Christians in Thessalonica. They were transformed by their continuous repentance or transformation by changing their life from idolatry to serving God and to serving God alone in their life. And then number five, last but not least, they have a confident hope. What do you mean by confident hope? What it means is that they are sure. They are confident. that Jesus is coming again. Don't you think that what's going on in the world today is a sign of the last days? It is a sign of what will happen in the world. This is just a testing. The real testing is when tribulation, just like what the Bible says, will happen in the world in the last days. Where you cannot buy anything without receiving the sign of, you know, the enemy. So if your faith is being tested today, the Bible says in verse 10, and this is what they did, this is what they were doing because of their hope, their confident hope in God. He said, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus who rescues us from the wrath to come. So they are expecting one day Jesus will come again. And he will rescue those who believe on him. You know, what's going on in the world today is only a sign of the times. The Bible says there will be wars, rumor of wars. These are birth pains. These things that are going on in the world today are just signs of what is coming in the future. So if you don't have faith in God, if you don't have a confident hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, what do you think will happen to you? You know, no matter what happens in the world today, I believe that one day God will make everything right in the end. You know, despite of the persecution that the Thessalonians were receiving from the world, they knew that one day Jesus would come and they would receive the reward that he promised from heaven. In Revelation 22, verse 12, it says, look, I am coming soon, and my reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done, or according to their work. My friends, my brothers and sisters, is this the hope that you have in God? And God is speaking to us today, especially in the light of what's going on in the world today. There's so much fear, there's so much hopelessness, there's so much, almost apathy under the sun. People are panicking about what's going on in the world today. But Jesus said, fear not. Do not fear. Because if we fear, we're just giving in to the enemy of our soul. Jesus said, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will help you. I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. We need to prepare. And how do we prepare? How will God change you? Depends on whether you have prepared your heart or not. So if you have never been born again, if you have never been saved, if you have never trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the first thing to do is to be converted, to be saved, to make Jesus the Lord of your life. Because if Jesus is the Lord of all, if he is the Lord of your life, there is no place for fear, there's no place for worry. So we must be transformed. We must be changed by God's word first. Now, if we are transformed and changed by God, everything will change. Everything will change because God will give you strength to overcome fear, to overcome worries, to overcome whatever is going on in the world today. So today, as we conclude this message, remember His promise. His promise is, I will never, never, never leave or forsake. In this world you will have tribulation, but I will be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for reminding us of our